The Money Show.
Business Unusual with Colin Cullis.
Business Unusual brought to you by DSTV Business. Get the stay package and elevate your guests' experience. DSTV Business. Entertainment is their business. Electricity provision is Eskom's business, but it doesn't feel compelled to do so. And that's unfair because I think there's a huge amount of stress and duress happening at Eskom at the moment, at a deep level of anger, anxiety, embarrassment, and in many regards, hopelessness, as the electricity grid, as I've said many, many times before, being held together with some baling twine and a couple of sticks. It's a very, very, very delicate balancing act at the moment. Colin Cullis, however, has got some alternatives for us. And looking at the world of Business Unusual, do we find some solutions to stage 6, 4, 2, 1 even?
It's not going to get us out of the crisis, but once we've got the plants producing energy again, we've now got alternatives for where we can store them. That's usually been the challenge with electricity generation. You generate it and you use it or lose it. And with regular coal power stations, etc., we typically just built enough of them so that we always had enough of what we needed. But you typically needed to make enough to be able to handle those peak periods, and that's typically in the mornings and the evenings. But then there's a lot of waste, and you know, a lot of people might look at you and say, why do they leave the lights on all night? Surely we'd save electricity if they just turn those lights off at night. Well, no, they wouldn't, because the power station's got to run irrespective, because there's not the kind of things that you turn on and off very quickly. But if you had a battery, then you could have fewer of those stations running, store up the batteries when the peak demand was away, and then when the peaks come back, you use the energy stored in the batteries. Now, we've looked at the vanadium flow redox battery. There's a electrochemical ones, and the lithium ion ones, absolutely popular, used everywhere. But this week, I thought I'd pick up on some mechanical batteries, and there's one we know pretty well. And that's water storage, hydro-stored water.
And that happens in the Western Cape. There's a dam where water gets pumped up to the top of the hill. It's like the Grand Old Duke of York.
Yep.
And once it gets to the top of the hill, it comes back down again. And then it gets pumped back up again when there is electricity. And then it flows right down again and creates hydroelectric power.
Yeah, so the mechanical action of pushing water up a hill and then using gravity to make it fall down, it goes through a turbine. The turbine drives a generator. The generator generates electricity and it allows us to get that. So these are the ones that fall into that category.
I've got those four. Or pumped storage systems.
Correct. And I've got four different ones.
Cool.
Besides that, there are mechanical batteries. So the first one is based on a flywheel. Now, flywheels have been used since the steam engine, based because the power strokes on a steam engine, even combustion engines, they're not that smooth. So adding a flywheel into it, then when you take the power output from the engine, it makes it a little smoother to make everything else work better. And in the 50s, they thought, what if we put a flywheel on a bus, spin that up, connect that to an electric motor, and then drive the bus from the electric motor. And they actually built these things. Swiss thing, looked like a tram, had little trolley lines over the top. So every now and then when the bus would need a recharge, it would connect to these very high power lines, spin the flywheel up again, and then the spinning flywheel would be able to generate power for the battery, and off it would go. And it worked fine because it was silent and there were no emissions. The catch was in the 50s, creating a disc that could spin at very high speeds and not wear out for a period of time was still a bit of a challenge. And of course, combustion engines were getting so efficient and so cheap that we kind of...
And there was so much oil.
And there was so much oil.
And the environment was so clean, we didn't mind polluting it a bit.
If only we had Greta Thunberg then, maybe yes. We would have said, stick with the flywheel. So the flywheel's now back, but rather than having it move around and stick it in cars... the idea is you set this up alongside the grid somewhere. And because you can have a whole bunch of these things spinning up, sitting there, whenever we have an unplanned outage, as it were, well, the flywheels can get you out of jail, at least just to take care of the shocks in the networks. And that's pretty much how they're being used. They would never be sort of mass storage, but they're very useful for a next stage storage just to get you out of jail. Then the next one, and these next two are really sort of pushing the boundaries. Can you imagine getting 35-ton concrete blocks and then building yourself a big tower out of them and sticking an enormous crane up at the top of that? And when the power is low demand, you use the crane, electric cranes, to lift those big weighted blocks and you build this enormous tower. And then when you need the energy back again, you lift the block off. And as you drop the block, it generates Correct. And you can even do gearing so that you lift the blocks very slowly, so it uses, you know, very little energy. But when you drop it pretty quick and get back a whole lot of energy. And this is a company called Energy Vault, and they think they're onto something building these things. Now, concrete is not the most environmentally friendly thing from CO2, but if you make cases and then inside that you just load in whatever happens to be in the area, then you can build these towers and some of them can...
Cases of sand, it doesn't matter. Things weigh tons.
You just need something that's heavy. The towers are expected to be as much as 35 stories high, and then packing, well, quite hundreds of blocks on these things with the six cranes that operate. I've left a little video online if you try to imagine how would this thing work. And effectively, I suppose, future cities, because we're definitely going to still be using skyscrapers, could actually design the center of the building to have this sort of space where the blocks can be dropped into. And then when the power consumption is needed, the crane lifts it out the middle of the building and pops it up on the roof. So that one, too, could potentially be a very powerful way for people to look to find alternatives for it.
It's the same principle, exactly the same principle, but just using a different mechanism, I suppose.
Yeah, and all of these sort of come together because energy generation in the past used to be, as you said, there was lots of coal and there was lots of oil, so we pretty much just relied on that. And we used to generate a whole lot more than we needed. Now we're starting to become environmentally conscious, so you start looking for the other things. The reason these are sort of out there crazy ideas is because we never needed them. And when you first create them, the theory of them works, but the scaling it up and actually producing it in the real world, and will it store enough, and what's the cost to build them, and what's the cost to maintain them, and does that compete with what it's going to cost you for, you know, the electricity you get? That's where the sort of the real tricky bit comes with it. But if you don't start at some point making these things.
I mean, man didn't get to the moon. Humanity didn't get to the moon by, you know, the first time. We had to orbit the Earth. We had to figure out ways of, you know, getting rockets out of our you know, into zero gravity. And then once we'd done that, we'd sent the dog up, and then we sent Gagarin up, and then we then went on to the moon landings. And only then could we start dreaming about this madcap idea of taking human beings to Mars. You don't start at the end point on the first day.
No, although we're in a kind of a position where we kind of want it now because we need it, because stage 2, 4, 6, we just can't afford it. The other element, I suppose, that's worth mentioning around the generation or using the batteries is that the batteries we've used in the past, these electrochemical ones, there is a challenge with regards to how many times they can recycle. So you charge them, you discharge them, and there is a lifespan to them. Spinning a disc, you can do quite a long time. Lifting a brick, well, as long as you don't drop it at some point, you've got a lot of wear out of those things that can last for years and years and years. Now, here's the next one. Might be useful for anybody who's living in a slightly hilly area and possibly has got good connections with PRASA, because this Californian company is busy testing using old mine railroads. So there were tracks going off into the mines in California, the old prospecting mines. And what they do is they'd load a train with a lot of weight and then put it on a rail that the electric motor on the train would drive it up the hill when peak was low. And when they needed it back, they would release it down the rail. And as it comes down, it drives the motor again, releasing the energy that's in it. And they started with a single track, and then they could say, well, we can build a whole rail yard up the side of a mountain if you want, and you can store as much as you want. You can put really heavy loads onto those things. They're even looking at ones that can go almost vertical, and I kind of thought, imagine if somebody rigged these things up on the side of Table Mountain, perhaps. It's a half a kilometer at least that you can get over there. Overnight, you can slowly raise them up.
You live in Cape Town. You are not wanting to rest ever again, are you? You've just suggested. People would rather, Cape Townians would rather live in the dark than desecrate the holiness of the mountain.
Fair enough. It was and that's why I say these are the unusual options. But truth is, you know, that's the kind of spaces where this sort of thing would happen. And there's, you know, there's a lot of value to it. But once again, it's unproven technologies. How easy is it to put it in, scale it up? And again, it doesn't get us out of the fact that somebody still needs to generate that electricity originally. This is how to store energy once you already created it. And, you know, we don't want to use coal for all of these things. Nuclear is a great option. It's clean, but it has its own challenges. It's hellishly expensive and takes very, very long time before you get it on board. So effectively, we're talking renewables here. So the way you can combine these with taking wind and solar and then making sure, because typically, well, solar is the only one with the challenge at night. You're not going to get any.
I was at an event the other day and paying attention to some of the smartest people in electricity in South Africa, and they were proposing a whole bunch of solutions. And one of the solutions, and it's a real one, is to put massive wind farms in the Eastern Cape, because research over the last 200 years that they've been mapping this thing suggests that the wind starts to blow at about 10 a.m. and dies down at about 10 p.m. That does a couple of things. It allows you to generate electricity during the day. It also allows you to generate electricity at peak times. One of the great criticisms of renewables is you can't, you know, unless you can store the energy. Well, if you can just generate it and use it spontaneously, as you could if you were generating it from wind in the Eastern Cape, well, then you don't have the storage problem. And by the time the wind dies down at 10:30 and your turbines stop turning, well, you're through the peak, and everybody goes to bed. And, you know, so it's that sort of thinking, and it's very creative thinking. It's part of the IPP process, and the people who are willing to do it, all we need is Uncle Gwede to sign a form.
Yeah, and this is the big thing. So you take your renewable, you combine them with one of these mechanical batteries, and you effectively create a base load station. Because all you really want from base load is consistent output. And the battery can give it to you, provided you can get something to put it in. And then you just got to match up the sort of amount that you can generate and the amount you can store for the demand that you'll need. In which case, you double them up. So rather than having to worry about coal getting wet in Mpumalanga because of heavy rains just there, you can have some wind happening in the Eastern Cape on the occasion it doesn't. You can rely on the Western Cape or some other part of the country where that's working. The final one, though, doesn't rely on gravity. The opposite. It requires a buoyancy. And generally, anything you try and do in the sea, air becomes a lot more tricky because the sea is a very bad environment for mechanical things.
Sure.
But the deal here is you build a column in the water, good 20, 30 meters, depending on how much water you've got, or perhaps just a cable, to which you attach large buoys. When you have electricity available, you use a winch to pull the buoys underwater as far down as you can. And when you need it, you release it, and as it comes up, it drives the motors, generates the electricity.
That is the maddest idea so far.
It is, and I was, you know, just, if I couldn't stick something on the side of Table Mountain, I figured, well, here I'm. Go to the middle of False Bay, sink a whole bunch of these buoys, the average depth there is about 50 meters at least, and above the water, you put a big wind farm, because the southeast are pretty much, and the northwest, you're going to get that pretty much all the time. And then so underneath the sea is all these buoys, above the sea are all these wind farms, and you'll have this crazy view from all around anywhere in the Cape Town area that you'd be able to have a look at it. Now, again, these are nuts. They aren't even surefire bets that these things will work. They're typically low capacity. They're untested. But I think right now is when it's a good time for us to start doing it. Because it's not just getting us out of trouble. It's how do we power the rest of Africa and all the other developing countries that are going to need energy. And we cannot expect them to say, well, it's our turn to use, you know, coal until the whole planet's completely ruined. So hopefully there's something in these in about 10 years' time.
Next week. Colin Cullis, Business Unusual, some crackpot ideas, and they're lovely crackpot ideas. You've got to, if nothing else, it's the exercising of human imagination that is what is the most powerful force in the world, and that is what is going to solve the problem eventually, is the ability of humanity to find creative ways through the crisis.